Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. 3D is on with Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick. Now on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You want to get some attention in the sports world this time of year? Stanley Cup Finals done. NBA Finals over. Not a whole lot going on in the sports world. Not a ton here in mid-June. You want to get some attention? Well, you do what happened yesterday. Yesterday afternoon when Dana White was all over the place doing interviews and making the announcement that indeed Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather would do battle. They would box in late August in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. With all that, to help us with it, here's a man that's also been very busy since the announcement. Brett Okamoto, ESPN UFC insider, joins us. He's been doing a lot of interviews, so we do appreciate his time. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, busy is a good way to put it over the last 24 hours.
You still have your voice, so that's good.
Yeah.
But you know what? This was kind of the worst-kept secret, I think. I want to hear your answer. I mean, I just never believed for a minute that it wasn't going to happen, even though a lot of people said to get these two camps together, to get these two worlds together, because they are different. This is an MMA fighter and a boxer. You just can't make it happen. But I'm sitting there going, nope, you've got egos. You've got tons of money at stake. They'll figure out a way to make it happen. And sure enough, they did. Where were you? What side of the fence were you on during this whole process?
Well, it's interesting. Very early on, I was one of those saying there was absolutely no chance it was going to happen. That was right around, you know, there have been a couple tweets back and forth between the two. There have been, you know, some TMZ interviews where one was asked about the other. But it really started to kind of, you know, the fight actually being discussed, like, oh, they could actually fight. I want to say it was, you know, about 14, 15 months ago. And at that time, I said absolutely no chance. But it's kind of interesting. The entire landscape of mixed martial arts has really changed during that time. The UFC sold for an enormous amount of money. The investors who have now purchased that, they have a debt that they need to pay back. They have loans that they need to pay off. The UFC has sort of lost some of its star power. You know, Ronda Rousey lost another fight when she came back, and now she's probably gone for good. John Jones was suspended for steroids, or not steroids, excuse me, but a banned substance. And so you had just a kind of climate going on in the sport that I think, you know, wasn't the main reason why this happened. I think at the end of the day, what your initial thought was that there's just so much money involved that this was going to happen. But I do think that some of those things that occurred in the sport of mixed martial arts made it a little bit more possible that Conor McGregor could pull something like this off.
Well, who had to make the most concessions to make this happen, in your opinion? Which side?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if we could completely answer that, you know, concretely until we see what the splits are, you know, and who's making what. I think that I always thought that if anybody stood in the way of this fight, it would be the UFC. You know, they're putting up their number one entity right now, their most valuable star. And they're putting him on a loaner to the sport of boxing, and he's going to make an incredible amount of money. And whether or not he ever really returns to mixed martial arts, I do think he will, but that's a risk, right? I mean, the guy could make $100 million and ride off into the sunset. No one could blame him for that. So I guess who bent the most? It was probably the UFC, although, again, I will say that they had a reason to bend. You know, they're not just giving him away for free. They are making some money off of this, and it's a it is an incredibly lucrative event, so they're getting something that they want, but I would say they're at the biggest risk in this.
Let's go over some logistics, Brett, just for folks out there that have heard about this huge announcement, but they're unclear on how this is going to go down in late August. This is going to be a boxing match. This is not mixed martial arts, so there's going to be nothing taken to the ground. This is going to be a stand-up fight. They're going to use boxing, the weight of the boxing gloves, correct? Because there is obviously a huge difference between an MMA glove and a boxing glove. So are they using the bigger gloves?
Correct? Yes, yeah, it'll be standard. It'll
standard
be standard
boxing
gloves for this weight of fight, yeah.
Okay. What about on the Conor McGregor side, since he's the one who's going over to the other side. He practices in his camp. You know, you have to practice striking and stand up. So it's not like he's never boxed, but this is going to be a boxing only fight. So who does he have in his camp that can help him? You know, because Floyd Mayweather, this is what he does. He's going into Floyd's world, and that's going to be full time. That's all he's going to do is stand up and strike. So does he have any specialized guys that he's bringing in to his camp to help him with that, or is it just going to be the team that he's always surrounded himself with?
It's going to be both. His longtime MMA coach, John Kavanaugh, told me that he'll still be his coach. You know, and I asked John, I was like, are you the right guy for this? And he said, yeah, I think I am. You know, a lot of guys have gone in and tried to outbox Floyd Mayweather, and it hasn't worked. He's 49-0. So we're not going to figure out how to outbox the guy in this short amount of time. But what we can do is we can go in with an MMA approach. Of course, we're not going to be throwing kicks. We're not going to be throwing elbows and knees, but we can come in and be ourselves to a certain extent. And that's going to be something different that Floyd hasn't ever seen before. So we don't think we should give that up. At the same time, they do want a boxing mind in that camp, mainly to bounce ideas off of, to say, hey, you know, if we come at him with this and this strategy and this is how we're looking at the fight, you know, what is it going to be their counter to that? And how is a boxing referee going to look at that? And how is a boxing judge going to look at that? And he's got a close relationship with a coach by the name of Packy Collins out there in Dublin, who he said he would probably most likely be part of the camp. And it's going to be that. It's going to be the Irish team. It's going to be the same team that McGregor has all around it. But it will have a boxing presence for sure.
Brett Okamoto on the line with us, ESPN UFC insider. So there's going to be tons of hype around this, and we're not going to get away from this. 2.5 months, we're going to hear this constantly. And, of course, everybody's going to pay attention to the press conferences and the talking, all that. They will sell this fight. But the question is, Brett, you know, how much – and I know Conor McGregor is a heavy underdog in Vegas, but – you know, does he have a puncher's chance when you hear that? You know, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and people were tweeting at us, you know, he's got a 0% chance. No, he doesn't have a 0% chance. There's no way that is true. But how much can this really live up to all the hype it's going to get, in your opinion?
It's going to struggle. It's going to struggle to live up to the hype. And that's almost inevitable, because, as you mentioned, the amount of hype is going to just be hard to quantify. So right off the bat, you're almost setting expectations so high. But I do think that me personally, I imagine that I will find the fight halfway entertaining, just because I will be watching to see what Conor's strategy is, what he's trying to do, you know, whether or not he has even the slightest sliver of success. I mean, that's what I'll be interested in, really. If you're coming to this fight thinking it's going to be action-packed, they're going to be going toe-to-toe, and it's going to be a competitive fight, well, then it's your own fault if you're not entertained by it, you know? I think, like, going in with the right mindset, and again, you know, someone who knows both of these athletes, have followed their careers, have watched their fights, I will find some interest in it, you know? But again, you got to come knowing what you're buying here. I mean, this is not a competitive boxing match. It just isn't.
Well, let's build on that a little bit. Brian Okamoto is with us. He is an ESPN UFC insider. And Brett, let me ask you this. And I think I might have called you Brian. Did I say Brian?
It's all right.
Yeah.
You did.
Well,
no,
I just,
you followed up with that.
That's called a false start.
You took a lick and you came back strong.
But Brett, let me ask you about the adjustment that you've got to make here. Because I'm coming at it from completely the outside. I know very little about either sport. But it would seem like it's really tough to all of a sudden take all these weapons you have and now you have to become a boxer. Because even if you're a great puncher, that's only scratching the surface of what you would have to do to beat a guy like Mayweather, right?
It's two completely different sports. It really is. I know that they can look somewhat similar when you're watching them on TV, but in order to set up the punches, in order to get your body weight correct, your timing correct, the distance correct, I mean, you talk about those gloves. I mean, a lot of that is just the distance in between your fist and someone's face. You know, I mean, the differences between wins and losses at a very, very high level of combat sports is a matter of milliseconds. It's a matter of centimeters, you know, less than that. And now we're talking about, you know, completely throwing Conor McGregor into a world in which he's very unfamiliar with. against the greatest boxer that we've seen over the last generation. So it can't really be understated how difficult this is. It's not just difficult as like training your mind to say, oh, I can't throw kicks anymore. It really is an entirely different mindset, an entirely different sport, an entirely different way in which to be efficient with, and just your energy use. Everything is different about boxing.
So how big of an underdog is McGregor based on what you just said?
I think he's a bigger underdog than even Vegas has made him. I think Vegas opened up the line at 25-1 for Mayweather, and now it's been bet all the way down to 11-1 because there are a lot of dreamers out there who won money wow. on Conor McGregor. But I would say that 25-1 was far more on point than 11-1 is. I mean, 11-1, you're giving a guy a shot. It's a very small shot, but at least a shot. 25-1, you're almost saying it's essentially impossible, and that's about how I would describe it.
And you may have touched on this a little bit before, but did they ever consider any sort of hybrid thing to where McGregor could use a little bit more? Maybe it's not a full-on UFC, because that would be probably an even more extreme adjustment for a guy like Mayweather. But was there any common ground they could have found to mix the two sports, or is that not even worth throwing in there?
No, and I've learned to never say not say anything is impossible through all of this. But you were never going to talk Floyd Mayweather into letting Conor McGregor throw a kick at his head. You are never going to talk Mayweather into that. He's the kind of guy who can stack the odds in his favor. He has that leverage because he has all the money in the world already. You know, it's as much as he does appreciate Conor McGregor existing for him. You know, it's an easy fight for him, and it's a massive payday for him. The fact is that Conor still needed him more to make this fight. You know, it was McGregor who was sort of seeking him out more than Mayweather trying to come out of retirement and to fight McGregor. So, no, this was always going to be a boxing match, and it already has sort of a freak show element to it, the fact that, you know, Mayweather's 49-0 and Conor's 0-0. So if we start adding, you know, we're going to do one round of boxing and then one round of MMA, now we're really talking about a serious circus, and I just don't think that would have worked.
Last thing, Brett, do you think it's going to be indeed the highest pay-per-view event ever, most buys ever?
As of right now, I would say I would not guess that it will break 4.6 million, which was Mayweather Pacquiao. That is not what I would project. However, if as we get closer to this fight, the next 2.5 months is going to just be one big promotional tour for this fight. You know, everyone's going to be talking about it. So if we get to August 27th and it does break the record, I will not be surprised.
I told Willie at the beginning of the show, if you're sick of it now, well, I can't wait to check your levels in about a month and a half from now or 2 months from now, because if you're sick of it already, then brace yourself, because you're not going
to
get away from this.
Long ways to go.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for doing this. We know you're busy. We really appreciate you coming on here and talking about it.
Yep, anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Brett Okamoto, ESPN UFC insider, and we do appreciate it. He's been all over the car wash on ESPN today.
Oh, yeah.
Every show you can imagine Brett has been on.
Why am I flashing back to Rocky III when Hulk Hogan or Thunderlips took on Rocky?
Thunderlips.
What do you mean? I mean, what are you saying?
Well, they kind of let Hulk Hogan do his thing. He didn't have to do boxing. He sort of did his thing, and Rocky
went
along with it.
You can't, like Brett said, there's no way Mayweather would ever agree to anything on the MMA side. No chance.
Mayweather did agree to a wrestling match.
He holds all the cards, but he's making Conor McGregor rich.
Do you think down the road this could end up bringing the two worlds together more? I mean, boxing, there's a lot of people that would have to admit that it's just not the popular sport that it was. It's still got its niche. It still can bring in big money for a big fight. But we know what it does to people's health. I mean, UFC, I guess, argues that it's not quite as much as bloody and stuff like that. Maybe there's not quite as many shots to the head. Do you think these two worlds will merge more as a result of this, potentially?
I don't know. It's kind of like Nashville and Memphis.
Exactly.
You're in the same
state.
Well,
and
state.
I can see why. Is it,
you're
there's,
in the same
two
state,
different,
but they're, right, they're
the
two different
very different
cities.
Things.
And
yeah.
Every time you think we're coming together a little bit, then you find out, not really. So I don't know. It's a good question, Willie. I don't have the answer. My guess would be, my suspicion is no, probably not. But I do think because of the two worlds, I think it's got a chance to pass the pay-per-view numbers. I do. I think the UFC following is so massive, and that's the world they're in, pay-per-view, pay-per-view, pay-per-view. So they're used to it. So I think they're going to buy. I do. And Conor McGregor is the face of their sport. He is their guy. So, and then you have boxing. Certainly they're familiar with pay-per-view as well. Floyd Mayweather has been the guy. I just think there's a real shot. I think it's going to pass the most ever. What's your thoughts as we sit here today? Are you going to watch? Are you going to buy? Do you have intrigue? What do you think? I mean, this is pretty wide open. And what do you think about the announcement? Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather will fight August 26th in Vegas. Are you intrigued? Do you have interest? No interest? 737-1025. We'll take your calls next on 3D-1025, The Game. So what side of the fence are you on here on this rainy Thursday in our city? Are you like Willie, where you could take it or leave it? And if the circumstances are right, he may take it. It's all set up for him. He just shows up. If you like me, there's interest just to see it. I'm not necessarily going to buy it, but I'll figure out a way to watch it. But I can't imagine a scenario where I just skip it, because I do think it's going to be so massive. We're going to have to talk about it. And if the unthinkable happens and you didn't see it, you really kick yourself. Although there will be no kicking in this fight.
Nice.
But what if it happens? What if, I mean, it'll be a humongous story, massive upset story. One of the biggest in sports history if it happens. Think about Mayweather losing, his loss in his boxing. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. His professional career and his losses to Conor McGregor, a UFC fighter, an MMA fighter, really? And we know the mountain is steep. But I'm just saying, what
do you
if?
Give him a chance?
I think anybody has a chance in a fight. Has a chance. Is the chance slim? Yes. Is it very? I am surprised.
So Brett 25-1.
The money was coming in on McGregor, which is surprising early on, very early on,
to win the fight.
Yeah.
So 25-1 is what they're saying. Do you think that will go up?
He said it went from 25-1 to 11-1. So that means the money
it'll probably go.
Yeah, right. That's early on. So my guess is it'll head back that way. What will it go off at? I don't know. But yeah, it's slim. It's very slim. I think what intrigues me more than anything is Floyd Mayweather's so good at dodging his opponent. Conor McGregor is very aggressive. Will he be able to dodge Conor McGregor? I don't know. And obviously, UFC fights don't go 12 rounds, but their rounds are longer. But there's only five, if there's a belt on the line, it's five rounds. Another fight's just three. So there's that element, which I don't know. Those guys, that size, they can go a long time. I mean, I don't really think that comes in. That element really plays a factor in. I don't think.
No way of knowing.
Stamina.
I don't really know. I would think, though, that it's – I agree with
think they're gonna weigh
everything
at 154?
That Brett said, in that they are two completely different – art forms of fighting.
Yeah.
They're different sports. So all advantages have to go to Mayweather.
It's his turf.
I just don't see how McGregor would have a chance, but that's what I'm sure the intrigue is.
Because what if? Nobody felt Buster Douglas had a chance either.
But he was a boxer.
True. Very true. And a heavyweight. You tend to have more of the puncher's chance with the heavyweights, right? You connect. The big guy is connecting.
So. I guess so, yeah. That makes sense. I think
you have
right.
more knockouts at the heavyweight division
right.
than the smaller guys. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, what do you think?
Hey, guys. Just real fast before the Conor thing, other news that went virtually completely unnoticed because of hockey sanity. This Sunday, the Spaniard, the king of clay, Rafael Nadal, won his historic 10th French Open. And just a big tip of the cap to him with amazing string to put together there. No one else has ever done that.
They should just name the tournament after him.
Roland Garros in Paris. But listen, I've been talking about this with a group of sports group on the internet, and everyone pretty much agrees that Money May is going for 50-0. He really wants that real, real bad. But we all are side betting as to what happens when McGregor gets frustrated with a jab and he just snaps and throws a roundhouse kick right upside Mayweather's head. I would love to read the contract, like what would happen. Because inevitably, I predict that he's going to snap and he's going to lean back and throw a kick. And I just really wonder, like, what would happen? Surely he'd be instantly disqualified, but I'm wondering about the language in the contract that would say, like, hey, if you do this, you get no money at all. Doesn't that seem reasonable and fair?
Yeah. No, I would assume, and I'm assuming, so that's always dangerous, but yes, I would assume that is the language, and therefore Conor McGregor would never give up the money that's going to be attached to his payout, which is going to be a lot, the most he's ever made. And not even close. It'll be more than his career earnings in the UFC.
Oh, yeah, by far.
But he's not going to risk that.
I totally predict that little jab, uppercut is going to drive him crazy, and he's going to just go all caveman and throw a kick. I just know it's coming, so that's why we'll be watching.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barrett. Appreciate it.
Sure.
You do wonder, because Mayweather has been known to frustrate his opponent. I'm sure the frustration level will be very high for Conor McGregor. So when we come back, you've got Bovada
odds.
I've
got the Bovada. They've thrown out some stuff on the Mayweather-McGregor fight. They've got some odds, and they may be a little different than what
really
Brett Okamoto threw out there.
Hmm. Is there some other?
And there's some different wrinkles of things you can
good.
Things that they
some
have
prop
out there.
Bets.
Yep.
Ooh, I want to hear
this. Method of victory, length of the fight, number of pay-per-views, et cetera. So we'll give you the info.
There's also news in Buffalo. Elliot Friedman, who we got to know a little bit on in Pittsburgh, he was nice enough to come on the show, does a fantastic job of covering the sport of hockey. He said all signs, he just tweeted out, all signs are pointing to Phil Housley being the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. The question is, how soon will it happen? Joe Yurden up in Buffalo is saying soon, as in very soon. Maybe even today. Today or tomorrow. So we shall see. We'll take a break. We'll get the Bovada odds, maybe a little prop bets on this when we come back. You're listening to 3D ESPN 102.5 The Game. Penguins had their parade yesterday. Estimated 650,000 in attendance today. The Golden State Warriors are having theirs as we watch out in Northern California. I haven't heard any numbers on the estimated fans that are there. We'll probably find out here soon enough. Bovada odds for this fight are as follows. You take it however you want to, whatever you have
all
in
right.
front of you.
Well, let's start. It's interesting. They, according to this, Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Conor McGregor, Mayweather minus 600, which is 1-6. McGregor plus 400, 4-1.
Actually, those are lower than Vegas.
Way lower. I don't.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see some fluctuation on this until you get closer to the fight, right?
Because right now, Vegas had 1,100, minus 1,100 for Mayweather, and you're saying minus 600?
Here's what they say.
Bovada?
This is Jimmy Shapiro's note. They have had fight odds since November 18th of 2016 with the hopes that this would take place. And there has been nonstop McGregor money from being a 10-1 underdog to his current line as 4-1 underdog. They expected more money to come in on McGregor, but not at this level. A McGregor win is already a huge liability for the book and will only get bigger. They estimate that the fight money might be the biggest single decision for any single event ever. The overall money and wagers on this might rival the Super Bowl, if not bigger, as we expect anyone and everyone to have a bet on it in some capacity, those who like to wager.
Now,
Super Bowl.
Connor.
We're talking level of the Super Bowl. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money. That would be billions.
So 4-1.
What
a 4-1 underdog. It's and Mayweather 1-6 right now.
Man, that's significantly lower.
That's, I guess, based on the McGregor crowd has jumped in. Now, here's a couple more. Total rounds, over or under? What do you think it is?
Hold on 1 second. Chaser, hit the breaking news sounder. According to Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, Phil Housley has been hired as the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
Good for him.
So, congratulations to Phil Housley. Well deserved. And now we can start the discussion here soon.
So, Darren Dreger,
who
has broken the story.
That was literally just, he just tweeted that.
Just tweeted that out. Okay.
Said Phil Housley has been hired as the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
Congrats.
Congrats to him. And so the search will begin. Who will be his replacement? Okay, going back to, and Chad, we're going to get you on the phones in just a minute.
Over, under, how many rounds?
Over,
what
under.
Is the over,
I'm
going
to say, what is it, 12? 6.5.
Chase, what do you say? What is the over, under?
I'm going to, you said 6.5?
Yeah.
I'll go 7.5.
They have set the over-under at 9.5.
Okay. I felt like I was too low.
Will the fight go the distance?
It has to be the favorite.
Will the fight go the distance? The odds are 5-4. If you're saying no, the odds are 4-7. All right, now, what is the most, let's see, how do I say this? The most likely scenario, according to round betting, right, they've got something for every round. Mayweather in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and then McGregor in the first all the way through the 12th, and then they have one for points for each guy, and then they have one for draw. What do you think is the most likely scenario according to the odds here?
Say them again.
Well, they have a guy in every round winning the fight,
mm-hmm.
or they have, and then they have each guy winning on points, and then they have a draw. What do you think is the most likely scenario based on the odds for each one of those scenarios?
A decision.
A decision for who?
Mayweather.
Yes. That is correct. And what do you think the odds are? Mayweather on points. That would be the favorite of all of these different scenarios here.
2-1.
It's not 2-1. 13-10 is what they set the odds. The most unlikely scenario is Conor McGregor, a knockout in round one. What do you think the odds of that are? Actually, I shouldn't say that. That's for some reason, it's not. But what do you think it is?
High. 25-1.
Chase, what do you think they have the odds are? McGregor in round one.
40-1.
40-1 is dead on right. Now, for some reason, McGregor in round 11 is 50-1. There's a couple other rounds that are 40-1, but the McGregor in round one is 40-1. Now, what do you think it is Mayweather in round one? What do you think the odds are in comparison?
You said 40-1.
40-1 for McGregor.
30-1.
Chase?
I'll go 20-1.
20-1 is right.
Wow. I haven't looked at. I have not looked at these.
He's looking. He's looking.
No, I'm trying to post about Phil Housley. I haven't looked at these.
Wow. So there's a lot of different ones here. Now, here's the last one I'll throw out there. How many pay-per-view buys will Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor have? Over or under? What do you think the number is? The over-under.
4 million.
Chase?
6 million.
You guys are right around it. The over-under is 4.99 million. That's how many buys.
Which is right there at the record. That's what they're doing.
Okay. Hmm. There's Bovada.
Very good. Chad has been waiting patiently. Chad, welcome in.
Hey, thank you, fellas. I didn't get a chance to get with you guys about the NBA championship, but I got into it a little bit with D. Mace right around the start of the season, and he was strongly against the Warriors. Did he ever come off that?
Oh, I remember it well. I remind him a lot.
Oh, well. Yeah. You're my hero again. You win again, brother. So taking this conversation, I think the next move is going to be, I think you're going to find Russell Westbrook, and this is going to really add to this rivalry. Tell me if I'm crazy. We already know the answer to that. Going to Cleveland, Russell Westbrook and LeBron join up to go against Durant and Curry. What
crazy.
Do you think? Now, we know that – well, let's take it the next step. We know that Westbrook is going – we know what he thinks about Durant. We know how bad he wants to compete for a ring. And we know that Westbrook's contract is up next season. He's got one more season. So he's going to be a free agent, right?
Not going to happen, Chad. Not going to happen.
Tell me why not, Darren.
Well, because he wants to be his own guy. And I don't understand that mentality, but Russell Westbrook wants to be the man. And you can't be the man in Cleveland with LeBron. That's what I didn't say – I'm just saying that's the way he is. And he has no interest in doing a superpower team like Kevin Durant did. He wants to be in Oklahoma City, and he wants to be the guy and have a triple-double every night and get tons of attention. And obviously their ceiling is like one round in the playoffs. That's it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I just think that, you know, that's a center stage, and that's the one to be on right now, to be on the main stage, and he has not re-signed with Oklahoma City, so it's going to be interesting to watch. But anyways, that's
I think
my
the
take.
Likelier scenario is, and you've heard this, I'm sure, is Paul George ending up in Cleveland.
Well, I think Kevin Love is definitely going to be gone this offseason. I think I think LeBron is probably at the end of his rope with his inconsistency in the big games, and you know, there was a lot of and De'Ron Williams really had a tough.
Oh boy, boy! He really did he ever?
He really had a tough.
Kyle
one.
Korver,
and even
Korver too.
Who I thought was going to be a really good ad because he at the end of the day can shoot with. He's one of the few guys in the league on one hand can shoot with Durant and Curry, some of the big shooters. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. Hey, Chad, thanks for the phone call.
All right, thanks, fellas.
You too. Yep, I remind D-Mace about those early discussions back in October where Golden State, they were flawed. They were not that good, and I laughed. I said, they will win the championship. Watch. We'll come back, Robert. We'll get to you on the other side and wrap up the third hour of 3D. That's next. We congratulate Phil Housley, next head coach, Buffalo Sabres. We should have Peter LaViolette on the show tomorrow with us at 11 o'clock. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're up next on 3D. Welcome in.
Hey, bud. How you doing? I just got a you remember a guy named James Toney that tried this little experiment thinking that he could go into another man's environment and totally dominate? Well, he got dominated by Couture, and it was McGregor's got the fight because he's longer, and the dude's just crazy. So... Yeah,
well, we've seen other guys come over, switch worlds, just not at that level, like Mayweather and McGregor.
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
You're going to watch?
Oh, it's my birthday, of course, yeah.
Yeah. You going to buy it and have some people over, or what's your plans?
I'll probably just go to a local bar and just watch it, and, you know, pass time until football season gets here. So.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. Thank you for the phone call, Robert. This is right before football kicks off their season. So this is like their last weekend to get everybody's attention before football season.
So that's smart. It's smart that they picked that weekend.
Good timing.
You'll get the whole
spotlight. But I would not go to an me personally, I would not go to an establishment because I think it'll be just crazy trying to get in somewhere to watch it. I mean, wall to wall. You'd have to get there so early to get a seat. Just not for me. I'd probably rather just do it from a house, either from mine or somewhere. Just go to somebody's house. Do a viewing party there. Just doesn't have this. For me, I just don't have the same interest in going to.
Oh, I'm
crowded,
with you.
Crowded, really crowded bars.
I am with you.
So we just brought up the Phil Housley. The news is out. So we said we would hold off talking about the replacement before.
Before it's done.
Before it's done.
And now it's done.
Now that it's done. Who are some likely candidates?
You know, I have not talked to anybody on the staff about this, but just off the top of my head, I would guess that the two top candidates would have to be Dean Evason, the head coach at Milwaukee. Although, you know, I think it's a, you could argue either side of what is the better place for you to be to launch into an NHL head coaching job. Assistant coach on an NHL staff or head coach at the AHL level. I think there are strengths in both. There are experiences you get in both that are very valuable. When you're running a team, that's important. But, of course, at the top level, that's important too. But I think that's got to be a guy that would be considered. And the other guy would be Scotty Nichol. I think he's got a great disposition. I think he is just a great guy to have around. He's got a taste of it. He is right now the director of player personnel. I think he's had a great hand in the development of some of these players. And a few years ago, he got a chance to coach some games on the bench. He's been a guy that has jumped in there on the bench at times. So I think he's a logical candidate as well. That's where I would think you would start. And who knows? Maybe there's somebody that they have eyed from afar that they think would be a really good addition. Maybe it's somebody that Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy have worked with in the past. But I do think elevating from within, in my opinion, would be the more likely scenario. So I think when you look at Dean Evason and Scotty Nichol as candidates, and this is me just shooting from the hip, not knowing anything.
I would agree
it.
With that, though. That makes the most sense. By the way, Darren Dreger, who first put this out there, also tweeted out that there's whispers of Jack Capiano possibly joining Phil Housley as an assistant or an associate head coach.
I do wonder,
said
too.
Nothing official on that, but hearing whispers.
I wonder all as well if Phil Housley has some people that he might be able to elevate from the Predators staff that he might want to take with him and put him in a bigger role than they currently have. I'm not sure how that process works, but there might be one or two that go with him from Nashville.
And that does happen. I mean, it happened with Barry Trotz. I mean, that's just naturally, when you're around people, when you get that opportunity, you may pluck a couple people away. Although sometimes there's an organization maybe telling you, we would prefer you not take them with you.
And there's, I'm sure, contracts for people that would be considered in there somewhere in how you try to go about that. And maybe in Buffalo, they've got some guys that they're telling, hey, Phil, we want to give you the job. A couple of things that we want you to know about as you take the job, we're going to have this guy. We'd like to keep this guy and that guy. Or, you know, there are some sometimes stipulations on who you can take and who you can't.
What's interesting is reading about this, as much as we heard about Rick Tocchet, just kind of reading into some of the reports that are out there, it doesn't really seem like Rick Tocchet was really in the mix.
Interesting.
That it was more Phil Housley's to lose and that Buffalo was really just waiting for him. I mean, which makes sense, but it is interesting
those folks in the hockey circles, how much they were putting out Rick Tocchet, where what you're reading today doesn't really seem like he was in it at all, that it was more just a conversation piece and that it was Phil Housley's.
Well, the obvious is Phil Housley's playing record when he played for the Sabres. He started his career, came basically right out of high school, jumped in, and was a dynamic player for them for a long time. That's something that has value. There's no question. The value of the track record in Nashville as an assistant and the development of the guys that he was tasked to do and the winning that the team did, that has a lot of value. And then the third thing is he did have a stint as the head coach in the World Junior Championships in 2013, and they won the gold medal. So I think that was another thing on the resume that looks impressive. He's got an impressive resume. I think you knew when they brought him in here. And that, remember, he came in a year before Peter Laviolette. He was on the staff with Barry Trotz the final season that Barry was there. And it was somewhat of a controversial move because Peter Horacek, who was a very popular assistant coach, trusted, loyal assistant of Barry Trotz, he got the boot, basically, to bring Phil Housley in. But I think David Poile recognized back then that this was on the heels of them winning that World Junior Championship, that this is a future head coaching star on the rise. And so the Predators got 4 years of his services. And I think in exchange, Phil Housley did a great job in his areas developing those defensemen exactly what they wanted, and also gained huge experience working under Barry Trotz and Peter Laviolette, two very successful head coaches. And so now he's that much more ready to take on this position.
We will come back with George Plaster to kick off the fourth and final hour of 3D on this rainy Thursday. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.